So welcome everybody to this morning's study. We are attempting to conclude our study of the book of Galatians. So if we're studying in Galatians 6, of course, like we always do, we start in the first, in Galatians 1, first five verses. So each week we've been reading the first five verses just as a way to get started. Remembering that Galatians, so I'll just put that here. Our timeline, just a quick review. In Genesis, the Malachi being the Old Testament period, the birth of Christ, so we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John describing this 33-year period. Then the book of Acts picks up, and Galatians being written around Acts, let's see where I want to put it, right there today. Around Acts 16 to 7, next door is a dive shop, and they have a submerged tank there, and you hear something like that, that's what that is. Around Acts 16 to 17, the first book that Paul wrote time-wise, okay, not the first book that Paul, Romans is the first book that Paul wrote that shows up in your Bible right after the book of Acts, okay, but Galatians is the first one that he wrote. So keeping that in mind, you know, context. All right, so keeping that in mind. Now, Galatians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Okay, who wrote it and to whom is he writing? Paul, writing to the churches of Galatia. And, of course, that's where Paul went in Acts 13, 14. Just 13 and 14 is when Paul would have gone to these churches. Then 16, he's writing back to them. Verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And it's just amazing, those first five verses that Paul writes that become scripture in your Bible, everything we need for today is in those first five verses right there. You know, so the end of verse 3, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, let me get my red one, there's the gospel in verse 4, in a sense, who gave himself for our sins. When he hung on that cross and shed his blood, he was paying the penalty for our sins. Took those sins to hell, spent 3 days there, and on the third day, God the Father raised him for our justification. The gospel of Christ, how Christ died for our sins, according to scriptures, was buried and raised again for our justification. All right, so there it is in verse 4. And then this, the last half of that, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. You know, we're now in this mystery period, the period of the dispensation of the grace of God that's going to end with what's commonly called the rapture of the church. Okay, that term is not a biblical term. The calling out of the body of Christ, and then begins that seven-year period of great tribulation, followed by the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth, the second coming, to set up his thousand-year reign on earth. Okay, so everything right there. You know, we don't have to worry about going through the trib because the body of Christ is called out of here first. At the end of when the body of Christ is filled up, when that last person is saved by the gospel of Christ, this is full. Out goes the body of Christ, and then begins the seven-year period of great tribulation. So everything right there in the first five verses. Amazing. Okay, Galatians chapter 6 now. And we've always read that, the first to start off each week's study. So last week, we covered verse 14. Yeah, the whole study was verse 14. But just to get the context, let's start in verse 12, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. Galatians chapter 6, verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised. Why? that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Again, last week we did nothing but verse 14. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Okay, so today we're going to attempt to cover verses 15, 16, 17, and 18. And we could actually spend 3 or 4 weeks on those verses right there. It's just, it seems like, okay, it's the end of a book. He's concluding. But again, there's so much stuff there. So let's just get into it and as the Lord leads, as they say. So verse 15, where we left off last time. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Okay, remembering that the whole book of Galatians, I mean, Paul has been just nailing these churches at Galatia. Right, if we were to go back to chapter 1, which, again, next we'll do one summary before moving on to the book of Romans. But these people, Paul, so in Acts 13 and 14 back here, you know, Acts 13, I'll just write 13 and 14. Acts 9, Paul is saved. He's still Saul. Acts 13 is the first time we see Saul preach in your Bible, and it's the first time we see the gospel of Christ presented, the first time we see the gospel of Christ preached. And that's at the end of Acts 13. And in 13 and 14, Paul is in Galatia. Actually, hope keep your hand, yeah, obviously put a marker in Galatians. That's where we're studying today. And let's go back to Acts chapter 14. Just look at, you know, let's see where he was going. Okay, so in Acts 14, verse 1, and it came to pass in Iconium. Okay, so they're in Iconium. Come up to verse 6. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of, forget how you say that now, Lycaonia. I just say like Lystra. Okay, verse 6. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. All right, so that's where they are. And 2 Timothy, you know, so you can let go of Acts now. Let's go to the right of Galatians to 2 Timothy. You'll even see Paul talking to... So the last book that Paul writes that becomes Scripture, 2 Timothy. Some people would even say it was the last book ever written that became Scripture. Certainly the last book that Paul wrote. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, you'll see in verse 11 there, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra, where Paul was in Acts 13 and 14. Okay, and here it is in the last book. So this would be, 20, 25 years after he was there in Acts 13 and 14 when he writes 2 Timothy. And yet here he is referring back to the afflictions that he experienced at that time. Okay, so back to Galatians. So again, in chapter 1, so Paul goes there in 13 and 14. He preaches the gospel of Christ. And of course, during the book of Acts, he's going to the synagogue first. So any Gentiles during the book of Acts that heard Paul preach would have been aligning themselves with Israel at that time. And then once the Jews blaspheme, then that releases Paul to then go to the Gentiles only. Any Jews were welcome to come, but he was still bound by the promise made back here in Genesis chapter 12 to Abraham. I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. That follows all the way through. That's still true in Acts 13 and 14. That does not end until Acts 28, when the Jews then become, lo am I, not my people. And it's, then it becomes strictly the dispensation of the grace of God, as stated in Ephesians chapter 3, written by Paul. Okay? So, so Paul goes to these churches, Acts 13 and 14. The first places that Paul's going to. So the first time the gospel of Christ is being preached anywhere, ever. I mean, for 1,500 years, the Jews are following the law. After Christ ascends into heaven, Peter and the 12 start a new church here. It's called the Kingdom. I should use a different color just before we get too many. So the 12 do exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ prepared them to do during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so the 12 in Acts 2 here start the Kingdom Church. And they are still following the law. And they start this. Paul gets saved in Acts 9. Paul's going after this church. He's throwing them into jail. He's having them committed unto death even. He's going after that church, and he thinks he's doing it in the name of God Almighty, because Paul is all about this. He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, right? Okay, and he thinks he's defending God, going after Peter and the 12 and the doctrine they're teaching. Paul gets saved in Acts 9. For the first time ever in your Bible, in Acts 13, he preaches the gospel of Christ. People are saved by it. It's the first time. So back here, meaning Old Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's faith and works. Works are absolutely part of the program. Out here in the future, beginning with the trib, it's absolutely faith and works. Works are part of the program. And Acts 13 is the first time you have something preached that is faith with, and I'm going to emphasize out, and I'm going to put works, literally in Romans chapter 3, how a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, is how it's worded literally in Romans chapter 3. And that's the first time it's preached, is right there in Acts 13. So we have a new church starting. It's a church which is the body of Christ. And that's the church that continues right into today. And I've got to get a new marker. Just take me 2 seconds. It's right in the front drawer. Knock, knock, girls. Excuse me. Just got to get right in here. Okay, so the church which is the body of Christ, and Paul says that, you know, umpteen times. All right, again, any of you doing a word search, when you like to do Bible studies on your own, just, if you have one of those cool Bible programs now, one I use a lot, is called e-sword.net. Free program. They do ask for a contribution, but you don't have to give one. But it's a great program, because you know, Brother Moore used to tell us all the time, if you got stranded on an island somewhere and you could only bring 3 books with you, of course this is 30 years ago before the computers and things where you needed all the books, but he'd say your Bible, your King James Bible, Strong's Concordance, and Webster's 1828 Dictionary. He says, you have those three, you've got everything you need. Well, eStore.net, not only do you have those, you can get it. There's a second dictionary in there. And for free, you can have, I mean, a dozen different versions. So you can compare versions and see what they say. Now, some, like NIV and NASB, if you want to get those, it's $20 to add those into the program. And that's not these guys. That's NIV has a copyright on their Bible, NASB. But you can get ASV. You know, so I use a lot. I'll use King James, ASV, and ESV, and mostly because some of the other Bible studies I'm part of, that's what those churches use, and so I like to compare the Bible they're using, what it says. But anyway, do a word search in here, not body of Christ, but gospel of the term, gospel of Christ. You know, Paul says the gospel of your salvation, talking to us today. The gospel of Christ, the gospel by which we are saved. And if you do a word search on that, you're going to see it show up 11 times. If you're looking at King James, it's 10 times in most of the other versions. But guess what? And doesn't matter what version you're in, every single time it shows up, it's in Romans 2 Philemon. Well, how about that? That just happens to be the 13 books written by the Apostle Paul. It just happens to be almost half the New Testament. It happens to be the books where we find the doctrine for the church, which is the body of Christ. And, of course, the year 2014 is somewhere in here. It might be near the end. We don't know, because we don't know when that event is going to be. And anybody ever tries to tell you, you know, it was out in left field. How many times have we seen that predicted in our lifetime, right? And that date comes and goes. And the point is, Paul would go into, so here's the key, the book of Galatians, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. What do we see over and over and over again? The theme of the book of Galatians, it's all about the law versus grace. Paul goes in and for the first time preaches faith without the deeds of the law. Justification by faith, without works. Never heard of before. And Paul, as he said, go back to chapter 1 of Galatians. After he does those first five verses, everything we need to know, what's the first thing that Paul says that becomes scripture after that is verse 6, he says, of chapter 1 of Galatians. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Whoa. He shows them the grace of Christ. People are saved by it. And the first thing they want to do is run back under the law. Amazing. Verse 7. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Remember, I've always suggested to you, whenever you see just the term the gospel, immediately ask yourself, which gospel? Okay, when you're studying your Bible, which gospel is it? Because if you're back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's the gospel of the kingdom, right? Christ says that how many times? You know, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto them. Different gospel for different people. When Peter's preaching, when he calls it the gospel of the circumcision. Okay, and as we see in Galatians chapter 2. But it's all about law versus grace, law versus grace. And he says, I marvel you're going right back under that. And it's a perversion of the gospel of Christ. How do you pervert it? Add something to it. Subtract something. Change it. Pervert the gospel of Christ. And how do people do that today in the year 2014? Oh yeah, it's the gospel of Christ. And do this. And do that. And quit doing that. And make sure you go to church every Sunday. Or it's a menial sin in your soul. Or, you know, whatever. There are so many different works that people will add to the gospel of Christ. Paul never says anything for salvation other than believe and trust that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and raised again for your justification. If you believe that and trust in that and that alone, you're saved. Period. Don't add anything to it or you're perverting the gospel of Christ. And that's what this whole book is about now. He's just nailing them. Come ahead to chapter 4 of Galatians. You know, there's many times where he says something to this effect. Chapter 4, verse 9, but now, of course, there's some of our favorite two words, but now. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again, that word again, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Everything about this doctrine back here in Old Testament days is bondage. It's the law. Thou shalt do this. Thou shalt not do that. And what do these people in Galatia do when Paul preaches the gospel? They want to go back again. That's why I say underline that word again. It's twice in verse 9. Come ahead to chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not, watch this, entangled again with the yoke of bondage. These people were in that yoke of bondage until Paul went there and preached the gospel of Christ to them. And that's what this whole book is about. Law versus grace. He says, why do you keep doing that? Why do you keep trying to run back under the law? You saw grace, and now you want to let people put rules on you. And it's bondage. That doesn't happen today anywhere, does it? All right, happens everywhere. How many places this morning, you know, is that going on?
The routine's gone.
The routine is a great word to use. Mm-hmm. The comfort in the routine. People want to feel good. They want to, I got to do something for the Lord. All, Paul says, all my works are as filthy rags. And Paul had some pretty good works. Besides, you know, the Acts 9, he like I said, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees in this doctrine. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel. What does that mean? It means, it's like saying today, I went to Harvard Law School. You know, how many people would poke their chest out? I went to Harvard Law School. Okay? I mean, he was the man. That's why in Acts 7, at the stoning of Stephen back here, they laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. He was the ringleader of the stoning of Stephen. Right? So anyway, I'm taking a whole lot of time here. The book of Galatians, let's get to chapter 6 again. It's all about law versus grace. That's what this whole book has been about as we've been studying it. Law versus grace. Law versus grace. All right? He says in verse 15 of chapter 6 of Galatians, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Just flip back to chapter 5 of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. All right? Don't worry about those works like circumcision and uncircumcision. It doesn't matter anymore. Yeah, it always did back here. First thing a Jew had to do, or a Gentile had to do when they got saved, or when they wanted to follow what the Jews were teaching, just get circumcised. I don't care if you're 42 years old. Time to get circumcised if you had to. And as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, today, in the year 2014, I would say you can make an application of, put baptism in there. Today, baptism is the one that will ruffle people's feathers. Back here, it was circumcision because that's what they had always had to do until that time. Today, baptism can... You talk about splitting churches, splitting families. Matter of fact, there's a whole study, I think 2 weeks ago, the second hour, was strictly on that. That which baptism is for today. Two words in particular, when you see them in the Bible. Gospel, ask yourself, which gospel is he referring to? Baptism, which baptism is he referring to? Because again, Ephesians chapter 5 tells us there's how many baptisms, or chapter 4 tells us there's how many baptisms? One. So we need to figure out which one counts by Scripture. All that matters is what saith the Scripture. All right, we all have to answer that question. And back in Matthew, you can find three baptisms in one verse. The Lord Jesus Christ talking. Baptism by fire, baptism with the Holy Ghost, baptism by water. Okay, so there are many different baptisms in your Bible. Okay, so we're talking about circumcision right there, chapter 5, verse 6. So we see that same thing there. Neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. All right, so back to 6:15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. A new creature? And by the way, many versions will say new creation. No, it's a new creature. Each one of us is a creature. We're a person. All right? And this, I shouldn't do that again, I guess, because the body of Christ is that new creature. And how many times does Paul use that term? The church, which is his body. And he is the head over all things, the church, which is his body. Right? In Colossians, in Ephesians. Well, we're in Ephesians right there. That's probably on the same page you're on with Galatians 6. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. I'm jumping into the middle of a context, but, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him, so this would be Christ, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So that's one place where we see the church, which is his body. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, and we'll pick it up in verse 18, where it says, and he is the head of the body, the church. Okay? So that's what we're talking about here, the new creature, the church which is the body of Christ, as opposed to the kingdom church back here that Peter and the 12 started. So now back to Galatians 6. Galatians 6, so verse 16 now. And as many as walk according to this rule. So what rule? That circumcision doesn't matter anymore. There is no difference between circumcision and uncircumcision. It's a new creature. It's called the body of Christ. So as many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Whoa, a whole lot in that verse right there. All right, so first of all, grace, mercy, peace unto the church, which is the body of Christ. And to those who walk according to that rule, you know, this rule. Now, he also adds in here, and upon the Israel of God. The Israel of God? Yeah, this church right here. Different church. The kingdom church that the 12, the little flock, started. Okay? Let's watch this. Come back to John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 8. This is a great one on lost believers. People that believe that might still be lost. John chapter 8, I'm going to start in verse 31. Then said Jesus, now watch this phrase, to those Jews which believed on him. Question, the people, that the Jews that Christ is talking to, do they believe on him? What did your Bible just say? Yes. To those Jews which believed on him. Okay? They're believers. So let's watch this passage. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not set you free, make you free. Okay? And they answered, come down to verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me. Whoa. Thought they believed on him. But ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I would say that carries right on to today. People don't care about this word anymore. It's what they want to believe. What saith the Scripture is what matters. Verse 38, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. the devil. And I added the words the devil in there for the tape's sake, in case you don't have a Bible in front of you. Okay? Verse 39. So let me do 38 the way, just read the words that are there. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's seed, ye would do the works of Abraham. By the way, 38, I added the words devil. Come to verse 44, here's where I get that. Verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil. Okay? Let Scripture interpret Scripture. That's why in verse 38 I added that at the end, the devil. All right, so now back to 40 we were just reading. But ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. How about that? These Jews that believe on him have the gall to basically call him a bastard. You know, going back to Mary and Joseph, right? They were not married. Of course, he was conceived of of God the Father. And they call him a bastard right there. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And of course, what is that major lie that Satan's trying to promulgate the whole way through? Back here in Isaiah, I will be like the Most High. Okay? That is the lie. That is Satan's goal, is to be like God the Father. I will be like the Most High. And he convinced one-third of the angels enough that he would be equivalent to God the Father, and they followed him as he got kicked out of heaven. Back to Galatians 6 now. So the Israel of God is what we're talking about. Let's just look back to Rome. Let's flip back to Romans now, chapter 11. Some other things about the Israel of God. So remembering the book of Acts, that transitional book. At the beginning of the book of Acts, this church starts, the kingdom church. The first seven chapters of Acts is all about what's happening with this church. And while we say, don't get your doctrine from the book of Acts, you can find the basis for just about every one of our 300 and some denominations in this country today somewhere in the book of Acts. It's a transitional book. Okay, and that's where we can get confused, get into trouble. That's why the book is called Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. If you were to go back to Acts 1:1, and I don't go there right now, but it says the Acts of the Apostles. What were the apostles doing? First thing in Acts 1, they've got, Judas Iscariot hung himself after he betrayed Jesus. They need that 12th because they're going to sit on 12 thrones out there, right? So they pick Matthias, the end of chapter 1. Verse 2, Peter stands up. They get the gift of tongues. Wow, now we've got tongues going. All right? They get the gift of the Holy Ghost. We've got that going. Should we do that today? Shouldn't we? There's churches today that jump all over it. You've got to be saved and get the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, how do you know if you have the Holy Ghost? Well, you'll speak in tongues. What if I don't speak in tongues? You don't have the Holy Ghost yet. Well, you better get prayed through. There's scripture to support it. It's scriptural to speak in tongues. It's just not dispensational to speak in tongues in the year 2014. That ended in the book of Acts. By the end of the book of Acts, and Paul tells us that. And that's not the purpose of today's study. It's just an example. Right? So there's so many different things that transition through. You can get clear out to Acts 21 when Paul goes back to Jerusalem, sees this group, and this group is still following the law. The Pharisees, you know, they've still got them following the law. Again, not for today, not in the dispensation of the grace of God. It is absolutely, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What's the next three words? Not of works. And the next verse tells you why. Lest any man should boast. And how many people do we know today that just sure want to boast in their religion, don't they? Well, I don't chew, I don't dip, I don't smoke, I don't drink like so-and-so down there. So, might be good for your health, but it has nothing to do with your standing with the Lord Jesus Christ or with God the Father. It is total salvation by grace without the deeds of the law. Okay. As you go to Romans chapter 11, because we're talking about this group of Jews now as opposed to this group of Jews. So, actually, keep Romans 11. Let's flip back to Acts chapter 2. Romans 11, keep that in your hand. Acts chapter 2. See how... All right, the first time Peter preaches is Acts chapter 2. They get to give, they, and by the way, due context, always, always context, one of our rules, right? How to study your Bible, you got to get the context. Who's speaking, to whom are they speaking, what comes before, what comes after, all that good stuff from Miles Coverdale. Who is Peter speaking to in Acts chapter 2? He stands up in verse 14. Start preaching. But Peter, after he got the gift of the Holy Ghost, after he spoke in tongues, the only people that got the gift of the Holy Ghost were 12 men. Go back there and read it. You'll see in the beginning of chapter 2. Only 12 men got the gift of the Holy Ghost. Only 12 men spoke in tongues. It wasn't the group. It was 12 men. The 12 apostles. Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and he said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem. Who's he speaking to? Ye men of Judea. Jews. And in case we miss it there, verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. He's speaking to Jews. Come over to verse 36, when he concludes his whole sermon here. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. He's talking to Jews. Everything about the first seven chapters is all about Peter and the 12 setting up the kingdom church with Jews. You can't miss that. Okay? Each time he's in the temple, he's in the synagogues, he says these words, ye men of Israel, let all the house of Israel know. Okay, and people today are trying to put themselves in there, and you can't. You can't. You absolutely can put yourself as a Gentile in Romans to Philemon. 17 times Paul says, I am the apostle to the Gentiles. Okay, and Paul absolutely, and Galatians is the book where Paul uses to show he is an apostle. He's not one of the 12 apostles, and I hate to call him the 13th because people want to lump him into here. No, he had a different message, a different way of salvation, and it's for a different group of people. It's for the church, which is the body of Christ. All right. So Acts chapter 2, just wanted to establish who Peter's preaching to. Now Romans chapter 11. Romans written by Paul. So remember, Acts chapter 7 is the stoning of Stephen. I could have spread that out better. Okay, anyway. Acts 2 to 7. It's a one-year period. Acts chapter 2 through Acts chapter 7. Is the stoning of Stephen. You ever want a great summary of the Old Testament, read chapter 7. Stephen does a great job of summing all of this up in one chapter in your Bible. Starting with Abraham and... Anyway. But they stone him at the end. They blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Of course, that means they could not be saved by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They could not be saved in this world nor in the world to come. There's no hope for anybody that blasphemes the Holy Ghost unless things change. doctrine changes. As it does, the gospel of Christ comes into effect when Saul is saved in Acts 9. So that unpardonable sin now goes away, as it is today. Acts chapter 11. Or Romans chapter 11. So Acts 7, the stoning of Stephen. We now have, again, this book is a transitional book, but the falling away of Israel and the establishment of the church, which is the body of Christ. The end of Acts 28, the Jews become Lo am I. The Bible tells you, not my people. They're set aside. And here's Romans 11. It's going to show us this. Romans 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? Who's his people at that time? Jews, right? Promised Abraham, bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee. Romans 11, 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Okay? Come down to verse 11. Romans 11, 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, watch this phrase. This is joy to us in this room. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. That's what Paul's Acts period ministry is all about, is provoking the Jews to jealousy so that they'll get saved. Verse 12. Now, if the fall of them, Jews, be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, the Jews, of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. There you go, another great summation in just two verses. Wow, it's 10-0. Okay. So that's where we have, in a sense, all three churches that are in your Bible, right there. Okay, you've got Old Testament Jews, you've got the new Jewish church, the kingdom church that Peter and the 12 started, and then you have this third church, the body of Christ. Okay? This church was in effect when Peter and the 12 started. Acts chapter 2, when Peter stands up and preaches, who's he preaching to? People that believe this. He's at the temple, right? That's why they're there. It's the day of Pentecost. The people that believed what Peter said became part of this church. And Acts chapter 2 concludes with 3,000. He numbers them. 3,000 people believed what he preached. They became members of the kingdom church. What do they start doing, by the way, at the end of Acts 2? They start selling out, having all things common. They think they're walking right into that. How did Peter start Acts chapter 2? First thing he says, after saying, ye men of Israel, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. 7-year tribute. He thinks he's walking right into it. Because he knows the second coming can't occur until 7-year tribulation happens. Anyway, so this starts, and that's continuing for a year. Acts 7, Stephen, I'll call him the junior apostles. You know, in Acts 6, where they select six men, six junior apostles, Stephen being one of those six, Philip being another one. And they stone him, Saul standing there. And actually, we're going to go through a lot of this in the second hour, so let me move right on. But that becomes where they're falling away, and we start establishing the body of Christ. So what you see is this church at Acts 7, it starts falling off to where you get to here, it's done. That church ceased to exist at Acts 28, which would be 35 to 40 years after the crucifixion. This church, the body of Christ, starts right here at Acts 9. Paul says he was the first one into it, and it's gradually increasing to where today, at the end of Acts 28, it's the only church that exists today in 2014, the church which is the body of Christ. dispensation of the grace of God. Romans to Philemon is where we find the doctrine for the church, which is the body of Christ. The 13 books, almost half the New Testament. And yet I guarantee you today, and let's just take America, I bet you if you polled all 300 denominations today, where are their scriptures that they're focusing on today, I bet you less than 10% of it would be out of Romans and Philemon. 90% of it would be out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The doctrine for that church right there. And it's full of law and bondage that goes with it. Because Matthew 13, how did the Lord Jesus Christ... Let's go... I'm getting into the second hour. Let's stay focused. Sometimes it's tough to keep them separate. Okay. So we see what's going... So we saw the passages here in Romans 11, how the falling away, the diminishing of them, is the riches of this church, which is the only church that exists today. Romans 11 was clear about that. Great, great, great passage. I always say when somebody says, Steve, I just got saved, or I have a friend that just got saved, what should they read? Romans. What should they read when they finish that? Romans. What should they read when they finish that the second time? Romans the third time. All right, and then what? Ephesians. Romans, Ephesians. Romans. That's all the doctrine. And that's not to throw the rest of the Bible out by any means. And Paul wrote almost half the New Testament. But distance or doctrinally, everything a man needs today, Romans and Ephesians are such great doctrinal books again, for the year 2014. Galatians 6. Okay, the Israel of God. From henceforth, verse 17, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And see that verse right there, we could spend a whole 45 minutes on that one verse. The marks of the Lord, I bear in my body the marks. So I'm to do this quickly. Let's just come back to the book before Galatians would be 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The marks on my body. He means literally the marks on his body. And we're going to see them right here in 2 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 21. And Paul says, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And watch this now. The marks in his body he talked about. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths off. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Paul was whipped 195 times. You know, the Jewish law was 40. They couldn't whip somebody over 40 times because they believed that would be death. So 39 times, 5 different times, they whipped him 39 times, you know, with the whip. And remember, if you saw the movie The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's movie, man, do you get a feel for what the Lord Jesus Christ went through. When you see the pieces, I mean the bones that are on that whip and the pieces of flesh that get ripped off. Well, Paul had that also. And 5 times. So back to verse 25 now. Thrice was I beaten with rods. With rods. I mean, that's pretty severe too. By the way, we don't see these in scriptures. We don't have the accounting for when most of these happen. Pretty amazing. But Paul tells us here how many. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. And oh, by the way, Acts 27, you know, the major shipwreck story that we have of Paul, that has not yet occurred. 2 Corinthians is written in Acts chapter 20, or 21.
So he shipwrecked at least 4 times.
So that would make it 4 times. But at this time when he wrote it, 3 times he's been shipwrecked already. And we have no accountings of those.